Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello there. Welcome to episode number 571 of Smart Podcast Trashy Books. I'm Sarah Wendell, and my guest today is Kathy Yardley. Kathy is going to talk about her new book, Role Playing, which is a Gen X romance featuring, quote, an unapologetically grumpy 48-year-old hermit who joins a gaming guild under the name Bog Witch and meets a healer named Otter who thinks that she's 80 while she thinks he's a teenager. I'm sure many people have just hit pause to go find this book. Welcome back. We are going to talk about writing romance for 20 years and counting. And Kathy also has some video game recs and book recs, too. Hello, and thank you to the Patreon community. You keep me going. You make sure that every episode has a transcript, which is hand-compiled by Garlic Knitter. Hey, Garlic Knitter. And I have a compliment this week to Jay. A map has been made of every footprint you have left on the Earth, and it is some of the most inspiring artwork that underground mole scientists have ever seen. So keep going. If you would like a compliment or you would like to support this here show, your support would mean everything. Have a look at patreon.com/smartbitches. Patron supporters get bonus episodes and a absolutely lovely, lovely Discord. And you get to tell me jokes, which I might use on the show because we all love the bad jokes so much. Thank you so much to the Patreon community. Your support means the world to me. This episode is brought to you in part by Ritual, my favorite nerdy vitamin. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Right? Women belong in scientific research. They're essential. And Ritual knows they conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The Essential for Women is also one of the few women's multis that is USP verified, meaning what's on the label is what's in the formula. It's soy-free, gluten-free, vegan-friendly, and formulated without GMOs. As I've said, I am very much a set it and forget it person. I like solutions that are easy, that I trust, that I don't have to think about. And I like Ritual because I never have to remember to order more. My multivitamins are delivered to my door every month with free shipping always. And I can start, snooze, or cancel my subscription anytime. And I know what each ingredient is and where it came from and why it's there inside the Essential for Women 18 Plus because of that traceable supply chain. With 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules every day, their unique beadlet and oil capsule technology is even patented. I like my nerdy vitamin. Ritual is all about hot data and stone cold facts. Get to know your nutrients on a deeper level with 20% off during your first month. Visit ritual.com/Sarah to start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. All right. Are you ready to talk about Gen X romance and writing romance with Kathy Yardley? Let's do this. On with the podcast.
I am Kathy Yardley. I have been writing contemporary romance and rom-coms for, over 20 years now.
So you've been writing rom-coms since before all the books started being called rom-coms?
Yes.
Wow. Like, okay, so definitely.
Imagine you putting on hipster glasses and being like, before it was current.
Before it was cool. Yeah, you and me and a bunch of other people, we have little rocking chairs on the front porch of the romance old folks home. We're just going to sit there and be like, I remember rom-coms.
I published with Harlequin Duets. That was my first book.
No.
Yes.
That imprint died like 10 years ago, more?
Well, it was. I signed the contract for that in 99 and got published in 2000. I had no idea what I was doing.
That's funny. Neither did I.
It was just like and this is where, you know, we rock it to the end now.
Wow. Harlequin Duet. Man. There are so many Harlequin imprints that I miss. I miss Harlequin Bombshell. Do you remember the Bombshell books?
Oh my God, yes.
They were so good. And, you know, you look now, it's like they were ahead of a trend. Because if you look now, there's all of these female forward adventure stories, I think is what they're technically called in the industry. Got Darby Kane, you got Deanna Rayburn, you got all of these people in different parts of romance writing, you know, women doing cool stuff. That was Bombshell.
I know. They had like weird glints of brilliance here and there, where it was like where you could see the potential.
Yes.
And then things just jumped the rails.
Yep.
And then they disappeared.
Yep. Amazing ideas, never enough support. Welcome to the story of publishing.
Yes.
In all aspects. Yes. You have been writing for 20 years.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. So your latest book is role-playing. Just tell me all the things about this book.
All the things. It's coming out from Montlake Romance. It is a Gen X romance.
Oh, I'm listening. Hi, yes.
It is about a 48-year-old feral hermit woman whose son has recently gone to college. And she's having some transitional issues. She's mostly worried that he's not going to be social. They're both kind of introverted. She has not been a great role model for this. So they make a deal where she will try to be more social if he does.
I feel so naked right now. This is like literally my story.
I'm getting that a lot, strangely, because she joins this online gaming guild as a kind of sop toward that. And she meets Otter, the healer, and the leader of this guild. The thing is, this guild is from a community college. She assumes that he's 20. He got her contact information from his mother. He assumes that she's 80. So you have...
For the record, listeners, I almost just spit water all over my desk.
At one point in the story, her friend jokes, it's like you've got mail meets Harold and Maude.
Everyone listening who's now like, I'm sorry, what was that book? That book is Role Playing by Kathy Yardley. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you. I know that what my listeners do is pause and then add things to their wish list or add things to their cart and then come on back, which I appreciate y'all very much. So please go on.
So needless to say, meeting in real life hijinks are going to ensue and things like that. This is totally, and this is also kind of an old school term, but this is a book of my heart. When I turned it in, I was just like, they are going to be like, what did you do? The heroine is Vietnamese, white, biracial, which is my lived experience. You have older protagonists. You have a little bit of a spoil, but it applies. There's LGBTQA representation.
Awesome.
Which I feel strongly about. It's set in a small town, but it's not a small town romance. So, like I said, I really did think they were just going to be like, okay, you must have been high and let's start over. But they were so like, we love it. So then we just sort of ran with this.
That's fabulous. And they've done such a nice cover for it. It's very cozy. It is very familiar. All of the things, especially, for example, the heroine is wearing really slouchy socks.
I have those socks.
I got like five pair.
When we first got the cover, and I love Lenny Kaufman's work.
Oh, Lenny Kaufman is
the best.
Ridiculous. Like Lenny Kaufman is going to be like our Pino, like of this generation of romance readers. Lenny will be our Pino.
When I first got the sketch, the female main character was barefoot. And I was like, no. She has to be wearing the chunky socks. It's got to be the thick socks. And a lot of the feedback I've been getting from the book so far, because right now it's available in first reads, which has been great, even though it launches officially in July.
Right.
But the people who are reading it are like, it's so cozy. It is so ridiculously cozy. This is the cover. It says what the book, it's like right what it says on the tin. This book is like cozy core. It's ridiculously cozy.
It sounds like this was really fun to write.
It was. It's a love letter to a lot of different things that I appreciate. Just gaming culture and the fact that she is basically like a honey badger. And he is like the cinnamoniest cinnamon roll to ever walk the face of the earth. So they just work.
And it's interesting because you're hitting on a particular period for a lot of people where there are these very vividly, publicly defined roles where you are a parent of a young person, you are a parent of a high schooler, that child leaves the house. Well, now you just disappear. There's very, very few.
Your job is done.
Your job is done. You are of no further use. Please report to your elastic waist pants and adopt some cats. Like, first of all, I'm all in favor of both of those things. I do not wear hard pants if I can avoid it. But like, there's very little in the way of, and here are possible narratives for what your life might look like now that you are done with this incredibly time intensive, emotionally intensive role of raising a person in your household, which is not to say that everyone like graduates college and leaves and that's it and you're done. Like, obviously you're a parent forever, but this is a place where I think there's a lot to explore. And it's kind of weird that there hasn't been more until now, although I'm very excited about this and the slouchy socks.
It hadn't occurred to me to write. And granted, I was trained in the trenches of Harlequin. So I remember, you know, like, okay, your heroine, if it's like 30 is later in life, which is like, what?
I didn't know anything at 30. I knew Jack. That was exactly when I had my older child. I really didn't know anything.
So it didn't occur to me to be like, you know, I can write, 40s, 50s protagonists. Mm-hmm. This at present, this is my lived experience. And just having the different kind of issues that you do face. And the funny thing is it is still a rom-com, mostly in banter. And there are just some weird and funny sort of situations, but it does touch on emptiness. It does touch on caring for elderly parents, because that's what, Aiden, the mailman character, is going through, mm-hmm. where he's trying his best to deal with a family that doesn't quite get him, mm-hmm. but he's trying to take care of them as best he can. And that's, I mean, I think that you never quite finish, or at least I'm hoping you never quite finish learning about yourself. That's not a thing that's just in your 20s or just in your 30s.
No.
And it's not like a midlife, I'm going to buy a red car, figure yourself out.
No.
It's just like it's a slow build. You figure it out.
Oh, yeah. And the idea that you should have all the answers at 30 is quite damaging to all of the people who are turning 30 and thinking, I don't know anything. I mean, I had a baby at 30. I was deeply unqualified for that new job. And I constantly tell my kids, actually, listen, I have never been the parent of two people who are the ages that you are right now until right now. So
yep.
I might screw this up a couple of times, but just say nice things about me in your autobiographies. That's what I need you to do. But it sounds like for you, this book was about also recognizing yourself in a lot of ways.
Yes. Although if I'm honest, all of them are.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the process, right?
Yeah. Well, I always like go in with a theme and then come out with something else completely that I, my subconscious was screaming at me to know.
Yeah.
Like I wrote like 4 books on workaholism before I like finally went, oh.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. The call is coming from inside the house.
Exactly.
So you've been writing and publishing romance for a really long time, as we have discussed. And I'm really curious. I love talking to people who've been in romance for a long time. For me, the site is 17 years old. So I've been writing about romance for 17 years. It has changed a wee bit in that time. And I'm curious, what are some of the biggest changes that you've noticed that you're really happy about? And what do you wish would hurry up and improve already?
I love seeing the diversity.
Gosh, yes.
When I started, I'm Vietnamese white, biracial. And I pretty much knew initially, not to write Asian characters, because they weren't going to sell.
Yeah.
Or at least that was my thought.
There's a lot of subtle messages that underscore that idea.
I probably shouldn't tell this story a whole lot, but, the first RWA convention I went to,
oh God.
Yeah. And it was like, I'm an introvert. So I blew out my fuses like within a day. But I went to the Harlequin party, and I don't know if you've ever.
I have. So, it is the prom, and it's big and it's huge.
It's overwhelming. There was just like, and I had signed a contract, but my book hadn't come out. I didn't know it, anybody.
Right.
So this woman comes up to me, and she's like, Kathy Yardley. I'm like, why, yes. And she's like, I'm a publicist with Harlequin. It's great to see you. I was like, well, thank you. How do you know it's me? And she's like, we're the only Asians here. Yeah. So that was jarring, to say the least. But when I came up, Chick Lit was coming up. So a lot of the setup for Chick Lit was basically three primary characters. You would have one that was the book description, but then you had three storylines.
Yeah.
I was able to make sure I had at least one Asian in the three storylines. And I was like, I thought I was, you know, freaking underground resistance up in here, which is ridiculous. But I was like, hey, Asian characters.
Snuck them in. No one noticed.
I know. But there have been, you know, there's been some progress. Has it been slow? I've been here for 20 years. It's been kind of slow. But I love seeing more of it now. And honestly, I do feel that having indies come up is what pushes traditional to change.
Yeah.
Where it's like, see, this can succeed.
Yep.
We can try different things. And they're being much more open, they're actively looking, and I love that. Love everything about that. So what do I wish would kind of hurry up? There are some weird things about traditional publishing as far as honestly, this is marketing and taking cues from indies as far as like, and this is wonky, but live links. Would it kill them to have live links to like a newsletter or back matter or something like that? It's like,
well, how do you mean? Do you mean the dynamic links that update on your end? So explain what a live link is and explain why it's missing. Because I think I know what you're talking about, but I'm sure someone listening is going to be like, what's like what they don't code the link? It doesn't go anywhere?
Yeah, well, they don't even have links in some cases, buy links in traditional books. And if you get an indie, I mean, a lot of times they have it locked down where it's like, you, by the time you finish that story, they've got a bonus scene so you can sign up for their newsletter. They have buy links that are live for any other book that they've got. And they can track them. So these are all, in my mind, good things because it's never about the sale, it's about the sell-through. But I think traditional publishing, weirdly, is still so married to the print model that they don't understand it or they don't want to.
Or there are people who understand it and they haven't been able to convince the people above them that this is important. And then they burn out and go work for a tech company or something.
Exactly. That it just baffles me. My brother's an MBA and I talked to him and he's just like, how does this work? Why would anyone in the world business doesn't run this way. And I'm like, welcome to publishing, man.
Yeah. And there's so many ways in which indie authors have pushed traditional publishing forward by, you know, getting redistribution deals, by getting a print deal for a digital series that's done really well. And you see like these new ideas. And I was like, wow, this is so clever. And romance, especially romance authors in the indie space, are so creative technologically and in terms of marketing. It's astonishing.
Well, I hear, God, I feel like I should be on my front porch with like a mason jar of like lemonade or something. But
yep.
Back in my day.
Back in the day. Once upon a time. Rock, rock, rock. Long, young whippersnappers.
I'll hear people, I almost said kids, oh my God. I hear people being like, you know, publishing doesn't, you know, they're not going to give any kind of marketing support. You have to do it all yourself. And I'm like, they didn't really back in the day either. Yes, they are really encouraging or, you know, kind of.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Dropping the ball in your court as far as like, okay, you know, you do your marketing. But what marketing they were doing wasn't like, I don't know what people are thinking was happening. I'm just like, it's, you're fine. This is not the thing to rail against. Honestly, in some ways you're better off doing your own marketing because no one's going to know your book like you. Mm-hmm. And again, with indies, you can learn a lot and do all these things. That said, even after all this time and this kind of like, I do have hope. Oh. I genuinely do. Because I do think that, honestly, the readers are, especially in romance.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
Like, it's like the Avengers.
Yep.
In the good way. Where it's like, you just release them and they're sort of like, you know, if you can point out a bad actor or if you're like, you know, this is a great book. I think this should be. I mean, obviously, we all are like, my book is great. Hello.
Yes.
But when something strikes a nerve, mm-hmm. It's the most generous and the most like, all right, let's get the word out. Activate the phone tree.
And this relates to something that you've been writing about for several years, which is that the readers who are coming into romance and are there now are used to functioning as a fandom and they know what a fandom can do. And so they function in the same way that geekery fandoms and nerdy fandoms and video game and cosplay fandoms have been operating for a lot longer. That energy has been brought into romance and fandom is a wonderfully powerful thing.
I absolutely agree. And I have noticed that over the it was different before social media.
Yes. Extremely.
You didn't have the same ways to connect.
Yeah. I was now, social media back in the day. I was a blog.
Yep.
I'm a blog with social media.
So now you do have what I've noticed with especially popular authors. I mean, like merch was not a thing.
Oh my gosh, I know. And I remember back, L.A. Banks, who died a number of years ago. She was one of the first people I'd ever seen talking openly about her street team. Mm-hmm. I have a street team. And that came out of hip hop. Like, she told me the whole genesis of that community of people who supported her books and showed up to her signings and would get people to come. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. How do you do that? Now that's a standard expectation. But back then it was really wild. People had not been encountering organized fandoms around an author in romance before. And that was urban fantasy. So it was like romance's very close cousin.
Yes, yes. I remember that kind of overlap a lot.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that story. Because you hear street team like you hear, you know,
Facebook group.
Newsletter. Oh, yeah. It's a standard. It's always been here.
Yeah. I'm like, no, this was a new thing and it was really cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you are obsessed with gaming. And I wanted to ask you, for the listeners, for some recommendations for video games that a romance reader might like. What are some of your favorites? I thought that having some gaming options to discuss, especially because, you know, the weather can be very variable. We might want to be inside in the air conditioning playing video games. Please give me your recs, because I know this is an area in which you have a great deal of expertise.
Relatively speaking. And it's funny because my son is like very, very, very hardcore gamer. So he'd be like, no, you're not, Mom. As only a teenager can. Mm-hmm. But I grew up with games. Relatively recently, I've played things like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls Online. I loved Zelda Breath of the Wild. I have not played Tears of the Kingdom yet, mostly because I'm a little intimidated by some of the mechanic parts of it. But that said, I don't play the game the way a lot of people do, as far as
me neither.
I'm not a main quest battle person. I will actually go explore the countryside for hours and hours and hours. It's like when I played Breath of the Wild, it was like, I'm going to do all this, the shrine quest, the side quest, so I can get the fancy outfit. And I'm going to look for all those little cute seed things, because there's a little broccoli guy that dances. And my son went nuts. He's like, why are you doing this?
Why aren't you doing the main quest? I have been playing Witcher 3 for years. I am still not through the game because I love to walk through the environment. I love to walk through the world, pick flowers, wander around, see what it looks like, because it's beautiful. And I've got music. If I'm on a boat, I'm just sailing. And sometimes I encounter bandits and sometimes I have to kill them, which is like, all right, fine, I'll kill you. But I'm really powered up because I've been picking all these flowers. My favorite thing is that there'll be a bandit, right? And he'll have a helmet and a sword and he'll be wearing like medieval tidy whities and shoes and that's it. And I kill him and it's like loot. I'm like, well, what does this guy have? An entire roast chicken is what I loot off a dead bandit. In his pants? Like, what's he keeping in his trousers? Like, what? I love this so much. I pick flowers. I loot bandits. I get a roast chicken. Sometimes it's a chicken sandwich. It's great. I love wandering around and I'm like on whatever the easiest mode is. I love just wandering around a world, especially because I know how much work goes into the programming of that like open world environment. I love secondary quests. You mean to go do a treasure hunt? Oh, let's go. Let's go. Main quest? I can wait.
Yeah. Then Legend of Zelda. That's your thing.
Yes.
And any of the Elder Scrolls things, they are just total open world. You can cook. You can do all kinds of things.
Yep.
For people who are really more kind of casual, I love Stardew Valley because you can get married too. My husband is Elliot right now, and I'm very happy. The guy writes me poetry and it will do chores and take care of the baby. He's got like the long, I hate to say it, but the Fabio hair.
He's got Fabio hair and he writes romance novels if you select that option. Oh, yeah.
I'm like, love this guy. So that's just fun because you can farm and do all stuff like that too.
And you can pick the thing that you want to do.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything you don't want to. It's very, very, very open to just you doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
There is a big YouTube gamer, Markiplier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has like 30 million subscribers or something nuts. And he's funny and he's respectfully, he's a good looking young man.
It helps on the YouTubes.
Actually, he was in some ways kind of an inspiration for my first book with Montlake. Because I got it, it the the main male character is a gaming YouTuber.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's Vietnamese American. And yeah, it was just, it's all about kind of the YouTube world, which I was very fascinated by. Yeah. But anyway, he did a review of Dream Daddy, a dad dating simulator. And I just lost my mind. I was like, this can't be a real thing. And yet here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. I also love reading books about YouTubers because it's another way of exploring fandom. And I think one of the things that romance explores a lot is sort of your inner and your outer personas, your real self and then your public self. And a YouTuber has a lot of public, private self conflict. It's almost like a new variation of celebrity romance, especially if you're talking about that many millions of followers.
That's true. In this one, in that, the name of that book was Love, Comment, Subscribe.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you. And he is obviously the gaming YouTuber, and the female main character is a beauty influencer.
Oh.
And they knew each other in high school. They're both like total geeky, nerdy people. She was not happy about this. He was, you know, completely happy with this. But they have this kind of, it's not enemies to lovers to say, it's annoyance to lovers. That's a term I'm hearing more and more now.
That's a good term, annoyance to lovers. Because it's not like you've done heinous things to each other. You just bug each other. Yeah.
Yes. And that he's joked that he's like a golden retriever that would love to just like hang out with her. And she's a cat who would definitely claw him if he came too close. It's like, he's like, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. So, but they do wind up collaborating because a lot of the name of the game in YouTubing is collaboration.
Yeah.
To try to build your numbers. So she's like, I'm going to have to work with this guy because I think it'll really help. And he's like, she's one of my oldest friends. Of course I'm going to help.
Yeah.
And the fact that I've had a little thing for her for 10 years is notwithstanding.
Oh, I love harboring a nice pine.
Yes. Pining.
Pine trees just keep for so long. So I always ask this question. What books are you reading that you want to tell everyone about?
I just finished Tal Bauer's How to Say I Do, which it's got that left at the altar groom kind of trope.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes on the honeymoon, he meets a guy there, and they wind up having a fake relationship because everyone's assuming that, you know, they're the grooms, even though the guy was going to marry a woman. And of course they fall in love, but you know, the groom is from New York City. The fake relationship guy has a vineyard in Texas. And I don't know if you've read Tal Bauer's work.
I have not.
The angst is just chef's kiss, and not in that kind of like manufactured, misunderstanding, none of that. It's just, oh my, and lyrical. The guy writes just beautifully. So I was like, okay, Tal's got a book out. I'm there.
Oh, awesome.
So I just finished that. And next I want to read, Jeevani Charika's Playing for Love, which is like so up my geeky alley. She said it's got a quadrangle where, but it's only got two people because it's a woman in love with a guy's online persona, falling in love kind of with his nerdy real self, not realizing they're the same person.
Oh, that's very,
vice versa.
That is one of my favorite conflicts. I love the public and private persona and trying to work out where the real person is between those two things. Oh, yes, totally. Please.
Yep. That's so as soon as I heard about that, I was like, bing, one click, I'm there.
Any other books you want to mention?
I don't know if it's still on sale, but I just snapped up This Is How You Lose the Time War.
Oh, no one's talking about that book.
I know. I figure if it's good enough for Bigolus Diggolus, it's good enough for me.
There were people cosplaying as him holding the book at cons. Like, I just, speaking of fandom, like, that is the perfect storm of fandom that you just, like, that's a meaningful experience. Like, I get a, for example, I get a lot of pitches from publicists and whomever They're like, this book has over 8 million views on TikTok. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Views of what? Views of one video? Views of a hashtag? Views of a what? Yeah. Views of all of the books, all of the videos about what channel? What were they like? What is, why is that a meaningful statistic? Because I don't actually believe that 8.6 separate people all looked at this book. Like, I don't believe that that's possible. But with How to Lose the Time War, I absolutely believe that 8.6 million people looked at that book.
I'll be honest, a friend of mine mentioned it before this whole brouhaha.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, that sounds interesting. Then this kind of hit, and I was like, well, okay. Yeah. Now it's a bit of a cultural, like, thing.
Yep. Awkward, earnest squee can do a lot. And I think it's really hard to fake that. Like, it's really hard to fake earnest squeeing about a book because you can sort of tell the disingenuousness.
I was actually talking with another author. We both like reaction videos.
Yeah.
What's not to love? Because you're never going to be able to experience something for the first time.
I guess.
But when you watch a reaction video, it is, you get that like dopamine hit of seeing someone experience something for the first time and having those shocks. And it's like when you make your friend watch something and you're watching them rather than the screen because you want to see that. Yes.
Yep.
I don't think that writers have that same thing, except for live tweeting.
Yes, that was an old art.
I am hooked. I'm just like, okay, they're going to get to the good part.
Oh, yeah.
See how this turns out. I would love to see more of that.
I loved live tweeting books before Twitter went to hell in a handbasket.
Alas, it is just, I'm like, I just got the hang of this cesspool. Yeah, still kind of casting about for an alternative to that.
I haven't found one. I'm so sad.
I just don't see the same functionality for, I mean, I like Instagram, but I'm not a photographer or any kind of graphic designer. TikTok, I got nothing. I eventually, hopefully will figure it out. I enjoy watching like the short videos, but
TikTok is a creativity in a department that I don't have a lot of skill set in. And I am so excited that people know how to think in creating a TikTok. I do not know how to think in creating TikTok. I know this about myself, but it's awesome that it works. It is just not for me. What are you working on right now in addition to book launch?
I am working on another Gen X romance.
Hell yeah.
This was so fun. But this one is about a widow who she has gone to live in her aunt's house, I guess, her great aunt's house. I can't remember. And she's working on a cookbook because that used to be what she did before her husband died. She has basically been in like a limbo state.
Yeah. Grief stasis.
And also she was a caregiver for a long time. So that tends to do things to you. Mm-hmm. But next door is a hobby farm with a smoking hot handyman guy who wants to own his own restoration business, who's used to fixing things.
Oh, I just hate when that happens, when there's a hot hobby farmer guy next door.
But there's like a whole family there where his parents live there, his oldest daughter lives there, his son's probably going to move there. They have goats that are like, he's basically convinced are demonic.
Fair assumption.
Yes. There's a dog that keeps running away. Anyway, the premise is basically my widow is very, she's a type of person that does not take help. She does not want to owe favors. She is very polite, very almost posh. But she helps him with his dog. So he helps with something else. And she's like, no. And they get into one of those like Midwestern like favor cycles where it's like a no, I can't owe you anything.
And favor cycle.
Yes. So then they just keep helping each other out of almost, it's like an escalating, like, I don't know how to get out of this.
They're just trading the same casserole dish back and forth.
And so, well, and it is the sort of thing where every time they try to help each other, something usually jumps the tracks. And then the other person is still trying to compensate where it's like, here, you know, I will fix your garage. Well, now my dog has broken into this.
Yeah.
Okay. You gave me this. I'll make you this. Oh, it went horribly wrong.
Yep. I get it. Yep. And that's an interesting way to build conflict because there's people who are trying to be kind and be nice to each other, but are also like, but if I really, really had my option, I would not leave the house.
Yes.
Yep.
I do think, and I'm sure in some ways, not that the pandemic is going to be in the book, but I do think that that has kind of accelerated that whole, like, I don't want to be around people necessarily.
Oh, yes.
And I do think that as you get older, mm-hmm. You don't have the same like friendship making sort of skills or, you know, like, and when your spouse has died, you know, that network, any network that you might've had isn't necessarily there if you're not an extrovert.
Yeah.
And it becomes this like, okay, I guess this is me now.
Yeah. And like we were saying earlier, that role becomes everything. And then when you don't have that role, well, what are you? What do you do? What are you doing? And who are you again? I have a life that I have all this time. Like, what do I do with it? It's a big transition. And like you were saying, it's not really represented a lot, even though it's incredibly common. Where can people find you if you wish to be found on the internet?
Well, of course I do. Obviously not TikTok.
No, nope, clearly but, not.
I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter, both at Kathy Yardley. And I do have a Facebook readers group called Can't Yardley Wait.
I do love puns.
So it cracks me up. It's a small but dedicated group. And we mostly just like kind of, you know, kibitz and like share nerdy memes.
I mean, that's what Facebook is for at this point. It's the only good thing left, groups and memes.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that is where I hang out. And I do like interacting with people. Otherwise, I have my website, kathyyardley.com, where I can, you know, be emailed and things like that.
Awesome. And that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Thank you to Kathy Yardley for hanging out with me. I will have links to role-playing and all of the other books she mentioned, plus links to everything we talked about, including I found a clip of the late LA Banks thanking her street team 14 years ago. It's kind of a cool artifact. It is definitely a cool artifact, actually. She was lovely. I will have all of that in the show notes at smartbitchestrashybooks.com/podcast. As always, I end with a terrible joke. This joke comes from Ernie from Sesame Street by way of JF Hobbit in the podcast Discord. Why couldn't the little flower ride a bike? Give up? Why couldn't the little flower ride a bike? It didn't have any petals. I think I'm going to tell that to the 7-year-olds in my neighborhood and see if they get mad. I bet they'll get mad. Thank you, JF Hobbit, and thank you, Ernie from Sesame Street. On behalf of everyone here, we wish you the very best of reading. Have a wonderful weekend, and we will see you back here next week. Smart Podcast Trashy Books is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You can find outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers.
With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.